hit the on button or whatever. We're going to open tonight with hymn number 228. And Greg touched on this. He quoted from this hymn this past Sunday. And in the refrain, it's the second to last line on the page. If you've got a pencil, if not, we'll just try and remember. Where it says, DS is enough that Jesus died. Line through the and that. And between the for and the me, put in one like. So it will sing, he died for one like me. And it will match the music. All right, let's all stand together. Hymn number 228. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, he died for one like me. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, he died for one like me. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, he died for one like me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, he died for one like me. Please be seated.
That's better, huh? I always singing that hymn in the past. The honest part of my heart always said, "Well, did he?" But I know he died for one like me. I know that. Let's open our Bibles together to Psalm 54. Good evening, Psalm 54. That which is of the flesh is flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. The natural man is concerned with only those things that are of the flesh. And only the Spirit of God can give us a concern for our souls and an interest in that which is eternal. The natural man will sacrifice the eternal for the temporal. And pray the Lord will deliver us from our natural man and that he will give us an interest in the salvation of our souls. The more I listen to religious hucksters speak, the more aware I am of the fact that they're just trying to help people have a better life here in this world. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto my enemies, cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble. And mine eye has seen his desire upon my enemies. Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne of grace, claiming no right or righteousness in ourselves, but asking, Lord, that for thy dear Son's sake, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would give us hope in Christ, that you would cause your word to be alive and effectual, and Lord, that it would do its work, cutting and exposing the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and causing us, Lord, to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ for all the hope of our salvation. We ask that you would comfort us and assure us of your grace. Cause us, Lord, to look in faith upon the dear person and glorious accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Number 354. 354. Let's all stand together again. 354.
In Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Discouraged, take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows bear? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou wilt find us solace there.
Please be seated.
Will you open your Bibles with me to Psalm 52, please? Psalm 52. I've titled this message, In Whom Do We Boast? In whom do we boast? In whom do we praise? Who gets all the glory? David in this psalm is speaking of Doeg the Edomite. And if you remember from 1 Samuel chapter 21, when David is fleeing from Saul, he goes to Nob, and that's where he meets Ahimelech. And Ahimelech is the priest who gives to David the showbread to eat. This is the same story that our Lord refers to in Matthew chapter 12, when the Pharisees accuse the disciples of working on the Sabbath because they were taking the corn and eating it. And the Lord said, Have you not heard that David took the bread that was not lawful for him to eat? Remember, he was fleeing from Saul. He had his men with him. They had no supplies. And Ahimelech gave him the showbread, that holy bread that had been set apart for worship, and gave it to David and his men to eat. And the Lord commends Ahimelech for that and says to those Pharisees, he said, man was made for was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Go and learn what this means. I would have mercy rather than sacrifice. They had made a law out of their religious ceremonies, and the Lord was making it clear from this experience that David had in 1 Samuel chapter 21 that that the law was for the purpose of exposing their sin and causing them to see their need for Christ, that their keeping of the law was not sufficient for their salvation. Now David tells Ahimelech that Ahimelech's afraid of Saul, because Ahimelech says, if Saul finds out that you're here and that I've helped you, he'll kill me. And David deceives Ahimelech. He said, I'm on a secret mission. The king has sent me on a secret mission and no one's to know about it. And Ahimelech gives him the showbread, and then he gives him a sword. Remember, he said, do you have a weapon? And Ahimelech said, there's only one sword here, and that's Goliath's sword. And David said, give it to me. There's none like that. And Ahimelech gives David Goliath's sword. So there was a man that was there during that exchange by the name of Doeg. And if you look with me in Psalm 52 at verse 1, or at the title of the psalm, to the chief musician, Machul, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. Now, that story in 1 Samuel chapter 21 ends with, there was a man by the name of Doeg, an Edomite, who was determined of God to be there. So the Lord had placed that Edomite there to see all that took place. Now in the next chapter, in 1 Samuel chapter 22, turn to me to that passage, 1 Samuel chapter 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his family's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And I want you to take special notice of verse 2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. What a picture. Those that were in distress. Now that word means to be in straits. It means to have no place else to go. It means to be between a rock and a hard place. So here, these men who had no place else to go went and joined themselves with David. It's still the case, isn't it? Still the case. We only come to Christ if we've got no place else to go. We're in straits. We're in distress. We're caught with nowhere, no other option. Notice those that were in debt. Boy, you talk about a motley crew, David's army. It reminds me of what the Lord, what the Pharisees said. Why is it that your master eats with publicans and sinners? Because they're the ones in distress. They're the ones in debt. They owe a debt that they cannot pay. And the same thing's true today, isn't it? Those who have a debt, a sin debt. The debt, the payment for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Lord, I can't pay my debt. I can't pay it. I don't want to be eternally separated from God. I need someone to pay my debt for me. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He laid down his life for the sheep and paid the debt of our sin with his precious blood. So those that had no place else to go, those who had a debt they could not pay, and thirdly, those who were discontented. Now, that word translated means those who were of bitterness of soul. They weren't just dissatisfied with their circumstances. They were discontent with themselves. They were a contradiction to themselves. They had this warfare going on within them between the flesh and the spirit, and they were discontented within their own souls. It's still the case, isn't it? Those who have no place else to go, those who have a debt that they can't pay, and those who have a helpless, hopeless discontent in their own soul still come to David. And those were the men that joined his army, 400 of them. And so David went thence in verse 3 to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Horeth. And when Saul heard that David was discovered, and that the men that were with him, now Saul abode at Gibeah, under the tree of Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him, then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make all of you captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse? Now Saul is paranoid. And in his paranoia, he thinks that David's trying to take his throne from him. He thinks that Jonathan, his son, is in cahoots with David to try to destroy, and David's making promises to men to get them to follow him. And so Saul begins to make these promises. And he says to the men, if you'll follow me, I'll give every man a field. You'll benefit from being loyal to me. In the last part of verse 8, showeth unto me my son, hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait, as at this day. Is there not anybody that's going to join me against my enemies? Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him. Now, Ahimelech didn't do that. Doeg is lying to David about what Ahimelech did. Doeg is saying Ahimelech is in cahoots with David to try to get God's blessings against you. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. And he gave him victuals, and he gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, and the priests that were in Nob. And they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have you conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and sword, and hast inquired of the Lord for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as to this day? So Saul now has Ahimelech on trial, and he's accusing him of what Doeg had accused him of. And Ahimelech says, he answered the king in verse 14 and said, Who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in all thy house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing at all of this, less or more. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, and all thy father's house. So Ahimelech says, These are false accusations that are being made against me by Doeg. I didn't do that. I didn't conspire with David against you. And David's not your enemy. You don't have a servant more faithful than David. And so Saul, in the rest of this chapter, instructs his footmen to kill Ahimelech and the 80 priests that are with him. And Saul's men feared God so that they would not do it. They wouldn't kill the priest. And so Saul turned to Doeg and said, You do it. And Doeg killed Ahimelech. He killed the 80 men that were with him. He went into Nob and he killed all the women and all the children and all the livestock and wiped the whole city out. And now one of Ahimelech's sons escapes and runs back to David and tells David what had happened. And David writes Psalm 52 in response to the report that he gets back from Abiathar, Ahimelech's son. Now, an Edomite is a descendant of Esau. And Esau, all throughout the scriptures, represents all that is at enmity with God. The enemies of God are the Edomites. Esau, Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. These lies that are being told by Doeg, that David speaks about in Psalm 52, are the same lies that are told today about our Lord from all of the Edomites that continue to live in this world. It hasn't changed. It's the same exact thing today. And so David begins in chapter 52, Psalm 52, verse 1, Why boasteth thyself of mischief? He's speaking to Doeg. He's saying, Doeg, why do you praise yourself for the evil that you're doing? Now, those who are at enmity with God boast in their evil. They boast in their unrighteousness. They take pleasure in their unrighteousness, and they have no love for the truth. Now, I'm not speaking of just those who indulge themselves in the pleasures of the flesh and boast in those things. We live in a society where that is becoming more and more prevalent. Used to be men would do things in secret. Now they do it openly and celebrate their evil. But Doeg, more than that, represents the enemies of God that are religious. I was talking to somebody recently, and they said they had some friends that attended a church, and the name of the church was Free Will Baptist Church. Free Will Baptist Church. And I said to him, I said, well, they just published their heresy right there on their sign outside the church. You know, they're proud. They're proud. Why boasteth thyself in evil? Why do you pride yourself in the evil that you the evil lies that you tell about God? They boast themselves in saying, well, I accepted Jesus. I made this decision, or I made that decision, or I did this for God. And they boast themselves in the evil that they do. That's the Doeg that we're talking about. They have no respect for the priest, no fear of God. They boast themselves in mischief, and they consider themselves to be mighty men. They consider themselves to be mighty men. Doeg thought pretty highly of himself. He had no respect for God's priest. He had no fear of God. And he was willing to take the sword. You know what the sword represents all throughout the scriptures. And you say, well, these things don't happen today. Men don't take a sword and go into a city and slaughter everybody that's in that city. No, but they use the sword of their tongue. And they slaughter God's people. And they slaughter Christ. And they tell lies about God. And they say things like God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody and God wants everybody to be saved and you got to do your part. With no fear of God, they sacrifice the only priest that they have for a position of personal power. That's what Doeg was doing. He was looking for something that he could boast in. He was hoping in the rewards that Saul was going to give him. And David, speaking prophetically of all the Doegs of this world, says, why do you pride yourself in your evil, O man of God? You give yourself credit for your salvation. Someone sent me a quote from a preacher at a large Reformed church. And I'm not going to read the whole quote, but just one statement out of his quote was this: it was God's blood, sweat, and tears that got us in, but it's our blood, sweat, and tears that keep us in. Doeg, why do you pride yourself in speaking evil against God? For it is the goodness of God that continueth. It's the mercy of God. It's the goodness of God. We looked at that Sunday when the Lord told Moses on Mount Sinai, he said, I'm going to cause my goodness to pass before you. And David said in Psalm 23, he said, his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. not only in this life, but in the life to come. How dependent we are on his goodness. But men that are of the descendants of Esau pride themselves. They pride themselves. They boast themselves in believing that they are mighty, and believing that they've done something good to merit their salvation. It is the good, notice in verse 1, it is the goodness of God that endureth forever. It is what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished in putting away our sin and in fulfilling all the requirements of the law that endures forever. Our works don't endure forever. His work's the only thing that endures forever. He's the end of the law for righteousness. But what do men do? They want to put you back under the law, don't they? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to Egypt. That's where the Doags of this world, the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, are boasting themselves. They're priding themselves in their own evil, believing that they're good. Believing that they're good. And the believer says, oh no. In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The only good thing that's ever happened is what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished in his goodness and in his mercy, putting away all the sins of all of his people and fulfilling, satisfying the demands of God's holy law. The Doags, they're still looking for temporal blessings. What was Doag's motivation? Well, he believed what Saul was saying. I'm going to give you fields. I'm going to give you possessions. I'm going to make things good for you. You side with me against my enemy. And then in Psalm 73, David said, my feet had almost slipped. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, I was jealous. I was jealous. Until I went into the house of God, then understood I their end. All of this emphasis that's put in religion on the blessings of God in this life. Tell one of the saints of God that was burning at the stake that God loves him and had a wonderful plan for his life. You know, that things are going to be better. Tomorrow's going to be a better day. God's going to bless you with this and with that. And we're interested in eternal blessings. Eternal blessings. It is the goodness of God that endureth forever. Look at verse 2. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs. Now, this word mischief, you could look it up. It's the word evil. We talk about a child being mischievous as if, well, they're just doing something, you know, that's innocent. But it's, you know, no, this is evil. This is evil. What men say about God, what they say about God's people, what they say about the gospel, God says, is not just mischievous, it is evil. And they doing it with their own tongue, just like Doag took the sword and slaughtered the city of Nob, so men use the sword of their tongue to speak evil against God. Thy tongue deviseth evil like a sharp razor. It worketh deceitfully. You tell men peace, peace, when there is no peace. You tell them that they can have the blessings of God if they will do this or if they will do that. You call on men to look to themselves for the evidence of salvation in their own lives. You would have them look anywhere other than the Lord Jesus Christ to get hope for their salvation. Your tongue is like a sharp razor. It's very clever. It rests the scriptures to your destruction and the destruction of those that listen to you. The evil of the false prophet is what the Lord's talking about here. Thou lovest evil Thou lovest evil more than good. You present your arguments very deceptively, and men believe you. Why? Because you love evil. You love that which is contrary to the truth. You love lying rather than to speak righteousness. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God sent them a strong delusion that they might believe the lie, for they took pleasure in their unrighteousness. They boasted themselves in the things that they were doing for God as the hope of their salvation, or at least as the evidence of their salvation. With whom? With whom do we boast? In the goodness of God? Or do we join our tongue with the Doegs and the Edomites of this world? Thou lovest all devouring words. These words that you're speaking devour men's souls. It takes away all of their hope. You're not lifting up Christ. You're not telling people what he's done, what he's accomplished. You're telling them what they need to do in order for them to have salvation. And you're not even speaking of the salvation of the soul. You're speaking more of the salvation of their lives in this world. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. The tongue of Esau is a deceitful tongue. James speaks of that, doesn't he? In James chapter 3. Turn with me to that passage for just a moment. James Verse 2, for in many things we all offend. That's the proper reading there. Not in many things we all offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and bird and serpent of the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. You've had that experience in your own life, haven't you? All of us have. We've all offended in many things. No man can tame the tongue. You can't tame your own tongue. God can tame it. He can tame it. He can cause you to say things that are honoring to him. He can cause you to, the fruit of our lips is our praise and our boasting in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done in order to accomplish salvation for his people. Now that's what Doeg can't do. He cannot speak words of praise about the Lord Jesus Christ for having accomplished salvation. He disregards, has no fear of God, disregards the only hope of salvation that he has, murders the priest for his own profit and benefit in this world. Go back with me to our text and look at verse 5. In verse 4, you put men under the law. You have them look to themselves for their salvation. You devour men's souls. In verse 5, God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Doag, what you've done is going to end up with your soul in hell. That's what verse 5 is saying. God's going to remove you from the land of the living. Eternal destruction. The righteous also shall see and fear. Now here's the message for you and I, brethren, is that we realize by the grace of God, we see what the world is, what the Doags of this world are doing, what the Edomites of this world are doing. And we fear for our own souls. And we have a reverential fear of God whereby we bow in worship of Him. And the righteous also shall see. They see what's happening. They see the difference. They understand what the difference between what Doag is doing and what the Edomites do, and the lies that they tell, and the truth of the gospel. They pick up on it quickly. And shall laugh at him. We join in with the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I hold them in derision. Remember, turn back with me to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? An empty thing. That's what they do. That's what the Doags do. That's what Edomites do. They imagine an empty thing. They think that they've done something to merit their salvation, or that they're doing something to keep their salvation. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We're not going to submit to your God. And he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting upon his throne. He's not threatened by the Doags of this world. I can only imagine how David felt. Matter of fact, David says in 2 Samuel chapter 22, when Ahimelech's son comes to him and tells him what's happened, David takes responsibility. David said, this happened because of me. Your father was killed. All those priests were killed, and the city was wiped out because of me. And David's grieving when he writes Psalm 52 over what Doag did. Verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. This is the man that made not God his strength. And the world is full of men who are not looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for their strength. They're looking to their own strength, their own power, and their own abilities. But trusteth in the abundance of his riches and strengtheneth himself in his... That word wickedness is the word substance. He strengthens himself in his own substance, in his own wicked ways. He looks to his own righteousness for the hope of his salvation. He's not trusting Christ. And David said, But I am like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. Scripture says that this tree is the planting of the Lord. The only way we're going to be a green olive tree in the house of God is if God plants us and nourishes us and puts us by that river of living water. Olive trees, they're evergreens. Their leaf never withers. They don't lose their leaves in the wintertime. Olive trees are fruitful. Oh, the precious oil that is produced by olive trees. It was used ceremonially in worship. It was used medicinally. It was used, of course, as a source of food. The olive tree grows on rocky hillsides. Sometimes the Lord puts his trees in very harsh circumstances in order to produce the best fruit. And you know one other thing about olive trees? Yeah, they say there's some olive trees that are 3,000 years old. The average life of an olive tree is 1,000 years. Now tell me what kind of tree grows like that. You know, here David said, I'm not like Doeg. I'm not looking to the rewards of this life. I'm looking to Christ and the hope of my salvation, and I'm going to be like a green olive tree in the house of God. I'm going to live a whole lot longer than those other trees. That's what I'm concerned with. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Forever and ever. That's all I know to do is just trust in his mercy. His mercy endureth forever. I've got no place else to go. I'm in distress. I'm in debt. I'm disquieted and discontented in my own soul. I've got no place else to go but David. And his mercy will endure forever. Verse 9, I will praise thee forever. And we do. We praise him for his redemptive work, knowing that we had nothing to do with it, that he accomplished it all by himself, knowing that the only reason that we believe it is because of his grace. Look how he finishes this psalm. He says, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. Now, this whole psalm, David's comparing himself to Doeg. Doeg is interested only with the rewards of this life, has total disregard for the fear of God or for God's priest, and is using his tongue to speak lies about David. And David is concluding this psalm by saying, the only reason that I'm not like Doeg is because you've made me to differ. You did it. Who made thee to differ? What do you have that you've not received? And if you've received it, then why do you boast in it as if you did something for it? You see, we don't boast in our salvation because we boast in Christ. We don't boast in anything that we've done. Because thou hast done it. What has he? There's a whole message in that one phrase, isn't there? Look at verse 9 again. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. You made me to differ. You sent the light of the gospel. You sent your Holy Spirit and gave me ears to hear and eyes to see. You took out the heart of flesh and put in a heart of stone. You gave me faith. You did all the saving. You're the one that keeps me. You're the one that causes me to keep looking to Christ and to believe upon his mercy forever and ever. I will praise thee because thou hast done it. You remember when Joseph was put in prison because he was falsely accused? And there's a verse of scripture in that story where the prison guard turns the prison over to Joseph. Joseph's one of the prisoners, and he sees the grace of God in Joseph's life, and the Lord ordained it to be, and the prison guard just said, you know what, I'm going to go on vacation. Joseph, you take care of it. And the scripture says that whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. He was the doer of it. And that's what David's saying here. I will praise thee forever, for thou hast done it. Lord, you're the one that satisfied the demands of God's law. I've never been able to keep God's law. You're the one that shed your precious blood to put away my sins. You're the one that satisfied God's holy justice. You're the one that did all this. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. I cannot speak lies about Christ. You gave me a heart capable of believing the gospel. You've said that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And no man, not even myself, am able to pluck me out of thy hand. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. You did it. You did everything necessary for my salvation, and I will wait on thy name. For thy name is good before thy saints. I was listening to somebody sent me a link to a sermon. I was listening to this guy, and he was just saying, well, Jesus this and Jesus that, and Jesus is going to make your road more. And I thought, you know, you're being so disrespectful. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. This is the Christ. This is the Son of the living God. This is the one that we worship. And David saying, I will wait on thy name, the Lord our righteousness, thy name, for thy name is good. It's good, not to all men. It's good before thy saints. In whom do we boast? Why boasteth thy thyself in evil? David said, oh, no, I boast in the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word, and we're thankful, Lord, that you've ordained this event that took place, as horrible as it was, with Ahimelech and Doeg and David and Saul. And Lord, how we pray that you would cause us to learn the spiritual truth of this story to our own hearts. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Tom.
Number 31.
Let's stand together. Number 31.
We'll repeat the last two lines in each verse.
Our victorious Savior Christ. see God's pleasure, prosper in our risen Lord. Covenant blessings without measure flow to us by Jesus' blood. It is finished, it is finished. Oh, how sweet the Savior's word. It is finished, it is finished. Oh, how sweet the Savior's word. Finished all justice demanded, finished all required by law, finished all portrayed and promised in the shadows of the law. It is finished, it is finished. Thou believe, rejoice with awe. It is finished, it is finished. Thou believe, rejoice with awe. Jesus finished our salvation when he died upon the tree. Righteousness and full redemption for his loved and chosen seed. It is finished, hallelujah, praise the Lamb of Calvary. It is finished, hallelujah, praise.